Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In this first half of Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, we have the wonderful truth taught that God is a God of comfort who comforts us in all of our afflictions. Let's begin by reading the salutation of the letter in verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin our study of this epistle, 2 Corinthians, with some background notes. Question: how many letters did the Apostle Paul write to the church at Corinth? Answer: we don't know for sure, but possibly four. Four, you say? Yes, possibly. We have the two inspired letters, which are part of the Bible, namely 1 and 2 Corinthians, but there may have been two other letters as well, which have been lost. Now let me briefly describe one possible scenario of Paul's visits and correspondence with the Corinthian church. We know that the church at Corinth was founded on Paul's second missionary journey. I'm reading Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And Paul came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11, and Paul continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And verse 18, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. Paul left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus and completed his second missionary journey. Not too long after this time, Paul returned to Ephesus on his third missionary journey and spent 2.5 years there at Ephesus preaching and teaching the Word of God. Early in this time of ministry at Ephesus, Paul wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth, which is now lost. He mentions this letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Because the Corinthian Christians misunderstood this letter, and because Paul learned of further problems in the Corinthian church, Paul wrote a second letter to Corinth from Ephesus. And that is the inspired letter of 1 Corinthians. Remember, this is one possible scenario that I'm giving you. It seems that soon after this letter, Paul also made a short visit to Corinth from Ephesus, known as the painful visit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Following the painful visit, Paul wrote to the Corinthians a third time, a letter known as the sorrowful or severe letter from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, some Christians believe this sorrowful or severe letter is not a third letter, but is actually 1 Corinthians. Well, we can't be sure, but if it's a third letter, it also is lost. After Paul's ministry at Ephesus, he moved on to Macedonia and there met Titus, returning from Corinth, after Titus had delivered the sorrowful letter to the Corinthian church. Titus brought the good news that both the letter of 1 Corinthians and the sorrowful letter had resulted in the right action on the part of the Corinthians. But now a new problem had arisen. Some at Corinth were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle, and they were also allowing some false teaching to creep into the church. So this is the occasion of the writing of this possibly fourth letter that we know as 2 Corinthians. It was written from Macedonia in about AD 57 when Paul met Titus returning from Corinth. Notice in verses 1 and 2, which is the salutation of the letter, how Paul emphasizes his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is by the will of God, not by the will of man. Those questioning Paul's authority had to know this. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and share God's comfort. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and share God's comfort. Verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation or comfort. Two words in this passage need a little further explanation. The word comfort here is not the idea of lying in a hammock in the cool shade on a hot summer day sipping lemonade. No. The basic idea in this word comfort is not a good feeling, but rather encouragement or assistance. The word means to come alongside to give help in time of need. That help may be in the form of encouragement or assistance or even exhortation. A comforter was one who helped, as in the case of a drowning swimmer, or interceded for, as in the case of a poor, needy widow, or even defended in court, as in the case of an accused citizen. This is the word that is used for the Holy Spirit as the comforter. John chapters 14, 15, and 16. The other word in this passage that needs some explanation is the word affliction in verses 4 and 6. This word includes anything and everything that presses in upon us from without. Anything which burdens our spirits. It includes any trouble or distress, such as the pressure of circumstances or the antagonism of persons. That's what's involved in this word affliction or trouble or tribulation. Anything that presses in on your spirit. Now notice the two alls in these verses. All number one in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God is the source of all comfort. Ultimately, all comfort in time of need comes from God. Don't look for help in time of need to the world or to yourself. Look to God. He is the source of all comfort. Now, He may channel His comfort to you in any number of different ways, including circumstances and people. But ultimately, God is the source of all comfort. And all number two is in verse 4. God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice the first part of that verse. God comforts us in all our tribulation or trouble or affliction. Note it is our troubles, not what someone else thinks our troubles should be or should not be. Whatever is pressing in on our spirit, big or small, mountain or molehill, significant or insignificant, circumstances or people, if something is pressing in on your spirit and afflicting your soul, then God is concerned. And if you look to Him, He will come alongside and help you with encouragement and or exhortation, if you need that as well. And this is one of the reasons why God allows affliction, so that we will know and experience His comfort. A little child who falls off her bike and scrapes her knee would not know and experience the comfort of her parents if she didn't get hurt. We see in verses 4 through 7 that God allows afflictions not only so that we will experience God's comfort, but so that we will share God's comfort with others. Verse 4 once again. God comforts us in all our tribulation, our trouble, our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or tribulation or affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we are to be channels of comfort when we are comforted. We are comforted not to be comfortable, but to be comforters. The sufferings of Christ in verse 5 that we share in are not the sufferings of Christ on the cross for our sins. No, those sufferings are over. That work is finished. But the sufferings of Christ that we share in are the sufferings on behalf of Christ. The Corinthian believers shared in those sufferings, and so do we as well if we live committed lives as believers. In the office, on the job site, or in the classroom. As the Corinthian Christians were to pass on the comfort of God that they received in their sufferings, so we are to pass on God's comfort that we receive to others who are suffering. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and share God's comfort. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and pray for God's deliverance. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and pray for God's deliverance. Verses 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Now, exactly what the trouble was in verse 8 that came to the Apostle Paul and his team in the Roman province of Asia, we don't know for sure. In any case, Paul despaired even of life. But God allowed this affliction, verse 9, in order that they should not trust in themselves, but in God who raises the dead. And they prayed. And the Corinthians, who were aware of the situation, also prayed. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. And God delivered them from the affliction, from the trouble, from the tribulation. What a blessed experience. To be delivered from affliction as a result of much prayer is an unforgettable experience. Believers are afflicted so that they may experience and pray for God's deliverance. Now, what about practical application? Let's pass it on. Let's pass it on. Pass what on? God's comfort. Now, we all remember the song Pass It On that refers to God's love that we are to pass on like a spreading fire from a spark. Well, the same is true of God's comfort. When we experience God's comfort in any affliction, we should look around us and see if anyone else is facing that same kind of problem, or bearing that same kind of burden, or experiencing that same kind of trouble. Now we have a responsibility. Because we've been through that same or similar situation, we can empathize with that brother or sister, and we can bring God's comfort that we've experienced to that person. Let's come alongside and give encouragement and comfort. Let's pass it on.